Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Fine, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LO. You turn that down. Jesus Christ. Does anyone like that crap, by the way?
LOVE191. Keep your calls coming.
That's annoying. I can't hear my own goddamn nasally drone.
I know. And that's not annoying.
Dr. Drew? Well, it's annoying, but it's not distracting.
Yes, not distracting.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Oh, Anderson. Our love affair grows deeper every day.
Every night.
Every day. He's just not happy unless someone hates him.
Unless you had him hate him.
Yes.
Oh, Anderson, never hear the commentary when we're peeing.
All right. Rob Zombie here tonight, along with Sherry Zombie. I'm guessing that's more of a coincidence that you guys are married, correct?
Yeah.
Strange luck.
Yeah,
but we didn't change our names.
But I've met you with husband and wife before. I believe we met Sherry when she just accompanied Rob to the studio.
Is that right?
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so
I never forget a pretty face. The Devil's Rejects is the name of the new movie. Kind of a follow-up to House of a Thousand Corpses, and it's coming up Friday, July 22nd. And do you think, for you, this is it career-wise? I mean, you're going to make a good horror movie every couple of years, and that's what you'll do until, ironically,
until
you're in the grave.
It no more. I don't know. I mean, making movies is what I'll do, not just horror movies, but that just, since this is somewhat the quasi sequel to the other one, it's sort of a horror movie. But
do you have aspirations to do
other types of films,
action movies?
I mean, I just love movies, not just horror movies.
Right.
That's just where this started.
And is it a sort of thing where, in terms of getting your foot in the door, because it's hard to do, even if you're successful and sold millions of records and all that stuff.
Yeah, because one thing doesn't translate to the
other. Right. So Rob Zombie has to do a horror movie to get his foot in the door, make a few bucks, maybe do another successful one, and then start transitioning into other genres.
Yeah, because, I mean, if I came to that studio and said, I have this touching coming-of-age story about a boy and his grandfather and their fishing trips, I don't think the movie would have been made, no.
Right.
I get this idea where lots of horrible things will happen to innocent people to go... Now that we can market.
And they're bringing the devil back, because Drew and I have been talking about, we're like, what happened to the devil?
Since 79, he vaporized.
Devil,
he just went back underground.
The devil's publicist,
was on hiatus.
Yeah, died or something.
I mean, there was Bad Ronald, there was Killdozer.
There was all the Devil's Triangle movies, where I was, like, when I was nine, I figured roughly half the planes that fly over Bermuda disappear. With the compass spinning around.
Well, they never would fly over that area, ever.
Well, that was my thing, is why would
you? All disappear.
Yeah, I couldn't believe the whole Bermuda Island chain didn't just sink into the ocean.
Adam, my assumption was that no one flew over that. They kind of flew around it.
I didn't even think fish were in the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
I just thought you at least had about a 75% chance of vanishing if you even went into Bermuda.
Yeah, well, I figure if it was made by Sun Classic Pictures, it had to be true.
You kids,
much
you
like,
young.
Let me say, you search young, for historic Jesus.
Yes,
Noah's Ark.
You kids do not understand what we had to endure. What passed as entertainment when we were kids? We didn't have the multiplex with 700 entertaining movies all playing back to back. We had one movie. It blew into town. It was narrated by Leonard Nimoy.
And it blew.
It was 4 hours. And it sucked.
A 2-hour episode of In Search of.
That's really,
masquerading as a movie.
That's really what it was. It was like, imagine a 9-year-old sitting there. Imagine your kids, Drew, watching two hours of Leonard Nimoy in a mock turtleneck talk about Noah's Ark.
Please. Oh, come on.
It was like, these cave dwellers drew pictures of men with mysterious bubbles on their head. Could they be astronauts? Well, obviously not.
I try to get my kids to watch Genie, Bewitched, Gilligan's Island. They're like, what?
We must have just had a way to slide our brain into some sort of alpha gray zone or something, where we just zoned out in a vegetative state and ate milk duds for 2 hours until the bad man stopped talking.
And part of that was his stories about the devil. Lots of stories.
Yeah, that's where we were.
Yeah, that's what started.
Yeah, no, there was devil dogs. Dogs were possessed.
only
hound from hell.
No, but
devil
was,
dog, hound from hell.
It was always the one breed.
German Shepherd. No, Rottweiler is today's devil dog.
It was the Doberman.
Oh, Dobermans. No, Dobermans robbed banks, fool.
That's right, you're right.
German Shepherds got possessed.
Yeah.
Totally
and
different dog.
Bulldogs played pool.
That's right. Yeah, so I'm glad. And I've always had a good, healthy fear and respect for Beelzebub, but he seems to have gone.
I know.
And
I mean,
Rob
think
is
about
bringing
it.
Him back.
Back in the day, you could go to any mall and get a nice iron-on T-shirt. Proclaiming that the devil made you do it.
Yeah.
Now nothing.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, you know what's weird, which is everyone used to be like, well, you're into God and you're into the devil. If you're into God, and now everyone's still into God, but they've dropped the devil.
What are you going
to do? I say without one, the other can't exist.
That's what Rob says.
That's what we're saying here.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm going to do something I've not done. Oh, my God.
What?
Something we haven't done tonight, ever. I've not ever done. I'm looking at some of these calls, and I have to share them with our listeners because they're so amazing tonight. So I'm going to read our first four calls to you. First of all, we have somebody calling from Scotland, allegedly.
Yeah,
allegedly. Who says he's been missing some pills and was wondering what's going to do to him. All right. Number two, we have Melissa, who is in a circus, tore her vagina, and now can't orgasm.
That's Rob's third movie.
And then we have Felipe, who every time he smokes pot has to have a bowel movement. Mm-hmm. And then we have Barbara, who's 19 and dating a 51-year-old.
Yeah.
And you guys all hang on. I'm going to talk to each and every one of you.
Yeah. Well, first, let's dispel the myth of Scotland.
If he's in Scotland, we want to talk to him.
All right, but wait a minute. I want to talk just a little more deviltry. So give us the broad strokes, Rob, the big beats on this movie.
The big beats.
Mm-hmm.
There's no devil in the movie.
Oh.
See, the point is, it's the devil's rejects. They're too bad. They're too bad for hell.
Mm.
So the big beats are that it's not really even a horror movie. It's more like an incredibly violent Peck and Paw style Western.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
where, you know,
but it's not
it's set in the 70s. It's like it's like a modern day sort of Western crime drama about a sheriff hunting down three escaped. Maniacs who murdered his brother.
And are they possessed? Are they back on Earth? Did they go from? you know what I mean?
Well,
are they
actually rejects? He finds drawings of them with bubbles around their heads.
Oh,
he pieces together that they're aliens.
Yeah, that's what Nimoy says. Compelling stuff. A lot of still photos. Awesome.
Yeah, a lot of still photos where you do the slow push-in on them.
Sun International Classics presents In Search of Historic Jesus. And they do this thing like with Noah's Ark. They'd be like, a piece of birch bark was found on top of Mount Olympus. There are no birch trees within miles of this region.
Within miles.
Thus, an ark. It must be a piece of an ark that carried every animal, two of every animal. Yeah, sure. That's just good science. You find a piece of driftwood somewhere, had to have come from a colossal ark that carried two of every animal.
Came from Atlantis.
What's your point?
I know. Drew is a man of science, right?
Man.
You see a piece of driftwood, you know it must come from a colossal ship, right?
Built by Noah.
That's right. Oh, my God. What we were forced to endure.
Please. Listen, you and I, come on.
All right.
And then, at least we could run outside and look at all the lovely architecture that had been produced around it.
I'll tell you. No wonder everyone from the 70s is angry.
Depressed.
Are they?
Yes. I close my eyes and I just see Sandy Stucco. And I hear Leonard Nimoy talking about Sandy Stucco.
I see tile.
Sandy Stucco.
That's a horrible porn name, by the way. Sandy Stucco. That'd be the worst porn name in the world. Every time I just think of stucco. I just think of that real sandy stucco, occasionally with some sparklies in it from the bad apartments.
Yeah.
The kind that you rub up against and rub the skin off your elbows.
Yeah, when you're 13 and you're on your BMX bike and you're trying to go down the corridor and you catch an elbow and it just...
Rips it open.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. All Kevin?
Right. Hi.
Where are you calling from?
Dundee, Scotland. An hour away from the G8 and about 200 miles away from Edinburgh, from London, where all the bombs went off.
I have been to Dundee.
You have?
And I've stayed at the Glen Eagles. Dundee is on the way to St. Andrews.
Yep.
From Glen Eagles.
Yeah.
And
because you were saying all that bad things about Scottish food, I went to Asda Walmart, which is where I work, and I also go to university, and I bought tons of traditional Scottish sweets and alcohol ones for Adam and stuff like that. And I sent them to an address in Venice Boulevard,
I did that in February, and I've never heard you speak about them, so I'm assuming you've never got them.
We never got it.
We never did. So you sent us traditional
Irish... I sent you about $60 worth of Scottish food, yeah.
We would have eaten it.
Yeah, we would have eaten
it. I'm sure you would have eaten it.
Listen...
As long as there wasn't any no haggis.
I
didn't
have a tablet, because it's like alcohol and sugar and...
No haggis, though, right?
Say
no,
again?
But...
No haggis.
No, no,
let me explain something we probably shouldn't be talking about on the air, but once in a while, we'll just get some crudely wrapped fudge in foil that is broken open, and it'll say, Adam's an a-hole on it, and we'll devour it.
In seconds.
Yeah, and not even delivered via the mail, just dropped off from the car.
Yeah. Well, the producer's going, what?
Yeah, like, we eat popcorn, we eat whatever someone will dump off here. I've eaten popcorn balls that have been made by listeners.
Not only that, we've waxed poetic about them.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
So, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, I can't believe you're
thanks for the attempt. And why are you calling from where you are? I mean, how do you hear us?
Back in 2001, when Mark Hoppus was on, and you had, from Blink-182, and you had a world premiere of whatever song was on, all the Blink-182 sites copied that little clip with you speaking over it, the CD wasn't released yet, so you did that. And that's where I first heard the show, and ever since 2003, I've been listening every single day. What it is the show's on from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. here. I go to university at 8:30, so I just copy the show that happened from 6 to 8, and as I'm going into university, I listen to it on the way there.
Are you a classmate with Prince Edward?
No, I'm at Aberdeen. I do web design and development.
Yeah. All right, so you hear us on the internet.
No, well, people will get into trouble because some of the guests you have play songs, so they could get dodgy legal reasons for that. So yeah, just say I listen on the internet.
All right. Well, now I'm confused.
That's what you did say.
That's what it's supposed to be.
All right. So anyway, Kevin, yeah, just say yes next time. But you have such a delightful accent. It's so nice.
Dundee. A bunch of other things I've had for like 2 years.
I'm trying to remember Dundee. There's a museum there. It's like a maritime museum or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Discovery ship at the front where they went to the Antarctic in 1900 or something, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Drew, remember we were talking about how boring Leonard Nimoy was 5 minutes ago?
I wanted to outdo that. I wanted to outdo
that. He's been trumped. Move over, Leonard. There's a new boar sheriff in town. His name is Dr. Drew. All right.
Oh,
so,
boy.
So what?
What's interesting is, listen, first of all, the G8 is meeting about 45 minutes from where he is at the Glen Eagles Lodge,
right,
which is an amazing place in and of itself. And there's riots there, and a bunch of people killed in London today.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. What's it like over there?
Well, in Scotland, it's completely calm because it's only like 6 a.m. in the morning. But yesterday in London, everything was, you know, the TV was off, everything like that, because nothing like that's ever happened here before. So there was no mention at all of the G8 apart from when Tony Blair and George Bush and Jack Chirac and that were talking about 11 a.m. There's been nothing about it since. It's all just been down in London, and all the news networks have been going on and everything like that. It's been all the time.
The whole terrorist bombing in the G8 summit is just a coincidence, right? I mean, they didn't seem to be targeting the summit or anything, were they?
No.
No, because, the hippie protester kids, that's where all the policemen are there, and they're signing off. So
Hold on a second. First off, how long have we been having this G8? Because I started hearing about it about 4 years ago, and everybody protests against it every year. And I know it's an economic summit of, like, the world's superpowers. What's everyone so PO'd about every year?
Well, I was there. The only coincidence, when I was in London, they were having... Actually, I was in somewhere else, Italy, they were in a G8 meeting. And who's protesting? The anarchists.
Chumbawamba.
No, yes, the anarchists.
Oh, those homos.
Yeah.
God, they drive me nuts. Thank God they fell off the map. What do they want? Like, do they? Here's what they want. They want us to, move into tents and give all our money to Africa, or we should stop driving cars and get on foot, or like, what is the deal? Like, what do they really want? Like, I know we have money. Here's the way I look at it. My dad's a loser. He don't have any money. I got to pay for him to go back to Philadelphia in a week. All right, he's got nothing. He knows a guy. His name's Dr. Gold. He has money. It seems like it's just guys like my dad yelling at guys who have money, hey, you should give us some of your stuff. No, that guy went to school and he worked hard and he busted his hump and now he has things. And now you're pissed off. Here's the deal. Instead of protesting, go bust your ass. Go make some money. You know what I mean?
Rob agrees.
I agree.
Here are the beats. Put a condom on.
Right, yeah.
Christ's sake, put a goddamn condom on, number one.
Oh, but Adam, they're not 100% effective. How dare you?
Put a condom on, number one. Number two, try to make it through the third grade. Number three, get a job, fight to keep it.
Bust your hump.
And bust your hump.
Yep.
Really? Yeah. I swear to you, people should be showing up at this G8 summit with a steno pad, just taking notes instead of protesting. Yes?
Yeah.
All right. See what I know about politics?
Let's ask Kevin.
I don't care. What is Kevin's question?
Scotland. Problem solved.
All right.
No, he hasn't asked his question yet.
Kevin?
Hi. So can I just say other two more things before I get to the question? No. Drew, I bought all your books off of Amazon.com, and the shipping cost more than the actual books themselves, but I read them, and they were great.
Thank you, Kevin. You must visit us when you're in Los Angeles.
I've been to Houston a few times, actually. I'm going to Dubai today. That's why I'm up to
true.
Well.
Dubai? He's going to Dubai?
What do you think this guy's your pen pal? Well, what's going on?
It's just interesting.
Interesting to you.
Scotland every night. Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah, also, Adam, can I say one thing? You know how you're always complaining about the traffic lights?
Yes.
You red turn arrows? Have you ever, when you were in England last year, did you see the roundabouts that people have?
Yes.
They were a civil replacement for them because it's up to the car driver to make the decision when they want to go. They do.
I know, but here's the thing. I was when I was in Europe, I was in the back of a cab and I was drunk. So it was just like a video, just stuff streaming by. Everything was just animated. I wasn't even in my right mind. Yeah. All right, so Kevin.
Question.
Yeah. No, now you got to hold on because he's wasted too much time. We have questions for Rob. We have the person in the circus who sprained their vagina.
Do the Rob one.
I want to talk to the vagina person.
She dropped out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we got a Rob on.
What can you say about that?
You see what happens? You spend so much time kibitzing with Kevin over here that you miss a good vagina sprain. Gavin, we only get like three of those a night.
Hey.
Gavin.
Hey.
You have a question for Rob?
Yeah. First off, sorry to make you skip the vagina sprain.
No, we lost it.
It'll be back.
Yeah. You're right.
So, first off,
Well, here's the thing. If you love a vagina, you set it free. If it comes back,
it was meant
it's
to be yours.
It's yours. It's yours to keep. That's right. Sting has a song about it. Gavin? What am I? Kevin's name should be Gavin. He sounds like more of a Gavin.
I agree.
Be Kevin.
Agreed.
Go ahead, Gavin.
From now on, you can call me Kevin if you like.
All right, Kevin.
First off, I had a story for you. I was in Tahoe, right, on vacation. And playing Marco Polo with a bunch of kids in a pool, right? Mm. And I got them all, about 15 kids, doing Adam Carolla.
I'm trying to replace the pool game Marco Polo with Adam Carolla. You know what I mean? That's going to be my legacy.
That's good.
Nice, huh?
That's right. Adam.
Carolla.
Adam.
Oh, guys, play along. Fish out of water.
We're going to let the kids use this. We're making, keep the fish out of water.
Yeah, and it gets kids in bathing suits chanting your name's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's exciting. All right. Gavin,
right,
go ahead.
Rob, I was wondering, right after the movie, right, which I'm a big fan of the first movie and, you know, keep waiting for the second one, were you going to put out another album? Because, you know, it's been a while since Sinister Urge came out.
Yeah, one of these days. I don't know. I don't know. I got to make it for. I started a record before he shot the movie, and now I'm heading out for Ozfest on Monday night, so maybe in September I'll finish it when I come back.
Nice.
I figure one album every 5 years is about as... That's pretty productive.
Are you...
I don't want to flood the marketplace.
You're more into movie making right now than the music?
That's true.
How much of your music is going to be in this new movie?
None.
Zero. And why not? Is that a conscious thing? You didn't have anything that fit or...
The movie is a period film. It takes place in 1978, so it wouldn't make sense.
Oh, I see.
So I kept it true to the time.
Wow. And did you do... do you have songs from that period?
Oh, yeah.
That you're able to clear and everything?
Tons.
What do you got?
Raindrops, keep dropping.
What do we got?
No, that's early.
some Three Dog Night, some Lynyrd Skynyrd, some Allman Brothers,
ooh.
Joe Walsh. What
ooh.
Else is in there?
Sounds interesting.
Wow. Terry Reed,
Buck Owens, Kitty Wells.
What do you got by Three Dog Night? Mom told me not to come?
No. That was the one they said, don't go for that one.
Why
publishing will kill you.
I'm going to go Eli's Coming. Yeah?
No, Shambhala.
Oh, I'm on the road to Shambhala. Come on,
that's
Drew. You don't know?
I heard he can't do it.
All right. Barbara?
Yes?
You're 19. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, I'm, like, seeing this, 50-year-old guy. Well, he's, 51. But, and I was just wondering if that was, an odd situation to, other people.
Oh, no, every 19-year-old dates a 50-year-old.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
God willing, Drew, when your daughter turns 19.
I can't wait for that moment.
Amongst the people that we know.
Is it strange?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a producer, it's fine. Actually, we'd like to see him go down to about 17, but 19 will work.
It's more than strange. It's disturbed.
Yeah.
It's wow. What?
It's not disturbed. It's just
disturbed.
It is not disturbed. That's totally unfair. No, disturbed. Well, I'm sorry. Well,
it's disturbed because there's something wrong with him, and he's exploiting you, and that you would put up with that is disturbed. Disturbing,
well,
maybe, is a little... Well, it's disturbing
okay,
and
yeah,
disturbing.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like, I've been kind of feeling that towards, like, the end, kind of... Well, I mean, it's not going to be, like, the end, but I'm, like, I'm starting to, like, realize that, and he's really, like, backing off, and actually, I'm the one who is always, like, going to him, you know? Like, and all he's done was, like, just... I mean, he never really, like, initiated anything or, like, asked me to do anything. It was all just, you know, kind of... You know, like, we'll just see how it goes, and that's just how it's been going.
Wow.
Is he married?
Talk about it's all snapped into focus
that was
for
a,
me.
It's a vivid picture. Boy, she painted just, oh, what a story.
Yes, Barbara,
epic,
really.
Epic.
Yeah, you should be writing scripts. It's awesome stuff. I have no idea what's going on between the two of you.
But is
Where
is
did
he...
you guys meet?
Okay,
at work?
I met in a bookstore.
Is he married?
No, he's not.
Do you have kids?
No, he has no kids.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. He can't even take care of himself, you know, like, how can
he... Is he a street person? What are you...
He's not a street person. Jeez, no.
But look, the only reason to date an old guy is if he has money.
Yeah, right. I know, and that's... yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of like a weird... Like, seriously, I've been getting such weird, like looks and, like, these weird, like, comments, you know? That, like, okay, he doesn't have money. Like, he's not, like, all that good-looking, you know? But, like, I'm so, like, we met in a bookstore, and it's, like, all poetic and stuff, and I
but
really
he does
like
enjoy
it.
The word like.
Huh? Wow.
Yeah. Barbara, you really... boy, you're fat. You
need True, like please.
A, you need like a primer in human psychology and how things work.
What does this guy do?
Oh, he's a musician.
All right. Here's the thing. Is it safe to say that if you make it to past 50, whatever it is you're planning on
wait,
doing,
wait,
you're not going
to
do
fat.
It? You know
I
what I mean?
Right.
I was fat.
No,
well,
no.
How much
I'm not
do you weigh?
Fat. I weigh like 139, one like 35 to 139.
All right. Well, that was just Drew.
That is
true. Yeah, and what's up? You're 19. There's no, you know, hot 23-year-olds you want to date?
No, I'm serious. Like I'm not, like, that bad-looking. I'm actually, like, pretty, like...
You're overweight.
You know? No, right. I'm not overweight. Shut up. I mean, sorry. But, like... No, really. Like, I don't understand why I, like, totally go to him and not, like, anyone else.
Wow. It's almost like you're a street person who lives in a house. You know
right,
what I mean? Like,
right.
You're just nutty enough to be on the street, but yet you probably go home somewhere every night. Do you,
where
do you live at home, Barbara?
No, I don't. I'm living with some friends now.
Oh, you're on the sofa, though, right? Like, you're crashing?
Well, no. It's the floor. Oh. And I'm not a street person. That's rude. That really
you're
is
You're a floor person.
You're a street person who's moved indoors. I mean, it's basically what it is. When you're on the floor of someone's apartment, you would be a street person. It's just you know somebody and they've taken some pity on you.
Right.
Other than that, it's a refrigerator box.
You guys are just really attacking me for no reason. I like...
What? Yeah.
Do you pay rent?
Huh? No. Well, kind of. When I work.
Well, not paying rent is being...
What do you do? I'm going CPA.
Okay,
that's me.
I used to work at Quiznos.
Oh, okay.
Like,
all right.
And then I quit.
Why did you leave your family of origin?
I don't have, like, a family, really. Like, my parents died.
Okay. You see, Drew? You called her fat.
Yeah,
and
that's
you
where...
you called me fat. My parents
yeah.
are dead.
Yeah.
How old were you when they died?
Hold on, Drew. Why don't you just live with that for a minute?
I didn't say it. How old were you when
you
they died?
I
was,
buddy.
Like, 15.
All right. So this is a way of sort of recapturing a relationship with an older
Everyone's
male.
Everyone's saying that. Like, but I really don't, like... I mean, I guess I kind of see him as, like, a male figure.
You're
like
a heroin addict.
Drew, please.
No, I don't get that. I don't get heroin.
Not getting heroin? Mm-hmm. You're going meth? Hey, Barbara, what happened to your parents? They both died in a car crash or something
yes,
at the same time?
Yes, exactly. It was a car crash, yeah.
No. Gosh, and you were 15 and you had to go live with a family member or something like that?
Well, yeah, but, no, and I really, like, I was, I mean... Oh, how dare you say that? Anyway,
say,
I'm
say
like,
what?
I don't know what anyone's
I'm
saying
like
anymore.
Total like street.
I really
person.
Can't follow this.
You were a street person?
Okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. You're saying that I was or am
right.
or something like that. Anyway.
All right.
So,
listen, Barbara. Let's wrap it up here. Here are the broad strokes. You've been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is traumatizing when your parents die at 15. You're a little bit nutty. not as nutty as many people we talk to, but certainly nuttier than quite a few.
She's not chaotic. She's fragmented.
Right.
It's a little different.
You need some therapy?
Yeah, of course.
You know, Barbara, you need some structure.
And some structure.
Structure and stability. That's what I need. I'm serious.
Yes. You need. You know what you need to do? You need to join this man's army.
Yeah.
You need to just go enlist.
Right, something like that.
I mean it.
Yeah.
That it's
here's, either that or find a job or the Peace Corps, Work Corps,
right,
or whatever.
But no, but here's the thing. And by the way, the job corps is prison with a shovel.
But
they just take
for
convicts
Barbara,
and give them a shovel.
For Barbara, it could be helpful.
Yeah, but she's not bottomed out.
Yeah.
See, in order to get to job corps, it's like, look, you're either going in juvie
or you're
going in job corps. Yeah. She's not had any trouble with the law, as far as I know.
No.
She has her choice between bouncing around from Buddy's apartment to Buddy's apartment to Quiznos to, Del Taco. Or she can just go join the Army.
Whatever she does, Army's a great idea, but something that's highly structured, something like that would be great for her. Because internally, she's fragmented and can't even... It's hard to follow her thought process.
Right.
So it's organized. The external part has to be structured so that you can take care of and containing the internal part.
I'm just saying, if you're 19 and your compass is spinning around, you have no direction, and it's either go to junior college experiment with drugs, get pregnant, have some drunken guy rape you when you're crashed out at someone's apartment, or just go join the Navy or the Coast Guard or something. You get all these benefits. They teach you something.
Call us in 2 years.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm not done. Barbara.
Huh?
Join the Navy.
No, I was thinking about that, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go back to school.
Right, you're going to go to junior college and flounder around for a few years.
I heard what you said yesterday about junior college. Something
about training in the military.
Go to the military.
No, that would be horrible.
What are you going to do with junior college?
I'm going to try and learn.
No.
All right, baby.
Enjoy.
Listen. Everyone in America just send you a dollar right now. Be cheaper.
Then what's going to happen afterwards?
For about the next 30 years, yes. Okay, don't get pregnant. That's plan B.
God, no, yes.
Rob Zombie's here tonight. Sherry Zombie is here tonight. New movie coming out called The Devil's Rejects. July 22nd. We'll be right back to talk to them and you after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. The man coughing in the background is Rob Zombie. Sherry. Oh,
wow.
That's the theme song from Taboo, too. Sherry Zombie is in here as well. Sherry stars in Rob's new movie, which is out Friday, July 22nd, The Devil's Rejects. And I'm trying to think if there's anything like this that's currently out. It's like some kind of, there's a horror movie.
No,
but nothing involving
nothing like this.
People that are actually thrown out of hell.
Right. The devil's back.
I imagine.
The devil is back.
You know, in terms of being tossed out of hell, it would have to be for hygiene, not for behavior. You know, because you never really could be bad enough to be tossed from hell. But
where does Beelzebub actually intend them to go?
Yeah, when he tosses them out, is he just like my stepmom who didn't care, just said, get out.
Isn't it a punishment?
Hell?
But to
Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah. Hell's supposed to be a punishment, Rob.
So when you get thrown out, isn't that a good thing?
Hell is like a timeout for bad people.
We really don't get to that part in the movie.
No.
They're in limbo.
The devil can't stand to be around these guys.
Right.
They're too bad.
They're just too irritating.
Born bad.
What are your what are some of your favorite scary movies, horror movies?
The devil movies?
Just anything. You know.
I like all the classic stuff.
Yeah.
All the stuff from like the 30s.
Ooh.
All the original wave of, Universal stuff.
Oh, you like Wolf the Man. Black and white stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What about stuff like the Evil Dead?
Okay.
See that one?
Yeah, I mean, I watch everything, but it's always the classic stuff that I like the most.
Really?
They never get old. Because those were made as big, respectable. Those were the blockbusters for that time for Universal. That's why that studio exists.
Plus you know? It adds a certain macabre dimension that everyone's in the movies actually dead now. You know what I mean?
Who was macabre before?
Some of the people aren't, though. That's what's funny. Like Gloria Stewart.
She's alive, but...
She's still alive, and she was in, the Invisible Man way back then and stuff.
The Lon Chaneys
of the
world
women are still alive.
Deep in the ground.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah. All right.
You find that appealing?
Yeah, I masturbate to it quite frequently.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
That's how hardcore I am, Ron.
That's nice.
You make movies about it. I live it, baby.
Work.
Monica?
Yep.
You're 21?
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
Well, apparently you guys had a caller on the show a couple months ago complaining about his girlfriend never giving him blowjobs. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend and I listen a lot, and we wanted to see what you guys would say, and apparently you guys hung up on the caller. Because you got the, mm-hmm. you thought the call was bogus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and apparently, yep. Well, I'm one of those girlfriends that just hates giving blowjobs.
Yeah,
I
hang up.
Yeah,
no.
Now, first off, we don't hang up on anybody. I don't think I've ever hung up. I've screwed up and hung up, but not volitionally hung up on anybody.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't listening that night. My boyfriend was, and he said that apparently you guys just hung up on the guy.
You mean that we were – his point of view was we were so outraged that a woman wouldn't do that we wouldn't even talk to her?
I guess so. Knowing okay, my Monica. Boyfriend, you probably –
All right. All right. Hey, Monica, here's the deal. What we normally say is the boyfriend needs to get over it. And if something you really are aversive to, or if you had a traumatic experience when growing up, if he actually cares about you, he needs to kind of understand that, and that's, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. Does he have some crazy religion or nationality or something that prevents him from this chore?
No, he's just a really hard-up Mexican.
You're Mormon?
Ooh. No. All right.
She won't give him oral sex.
Oh, she won't give him oral?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she...
No,
okay.
No.
That's what I thought originally, but the way you stated it, you said yeah. she or something. All right. Look, I only listen with one ear anyway.
Right.
So why won't you do it? Did we ask her why? Why won't you do it?
I don't like it. I don't like the taste. I don't like the smells. I don't like the fact
yeah.
that
it's listen, I don't like getting up and going to work in the morning. T.S., baby. Get busy. I don't like it. It's not acceptable. No, here's acceptable excuses. A crazy novelty gag reflex where it's just like physically impossible to do it.
Well,
or
yeah, that's what I get. I start gagging. I start choking. Like the last time I did it, like he ejaculated and I threw up. I literally threw up.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's
yeah.
nice.
That's a devil's brew.
Yeah, what?
I don't know.
Thanks for that info.
Rug doctor. Come on down, buddy. That is a mess. Yeah.
Now,
and then, wait a minute. I was going to say the other acceptable answer is weirdo uncle did something to you when you were 9 and freaked you out about this.
I don't have a weirdo uncle.
Monica doesn't need oral sex herself.
You don't like oral sex?
I enjoy it. I mean, I don't
You're multi-orgasmic, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about Drew. Drew is like one of those dogs at the airport, except for and he doesn't sniff pot. He sniffs multi-orgasms. Drew's just like, oh yeah. I had to bring you with me, Drew. We had to go out.
Was I wrong on this
take
one?
You to Vegas.
We have a little high sign now. I just kind of go, hey.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. Here's Drew's theory, and it has been proven. Women who are multi-orgasmic. With intercourse, aren't huge fans of receiving oral sex.
Right.
They're okay with it, but they want to get to the good stuff. And why wouldn't you? I mean, if you knew there was 135 orgasms just around the corner, let's get to it.
Yeah. And the oral sex is just sort of...
Yeah, it's a nice little salad before the entree, but let's get going.
And so for her, it may not be stimulating. And so for her to be able to do this to him, she can't really empathize with that. For him,
mm-hmm.
it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good point, which is it's probably a tougher sell if she's not that into it.
Right.
Because she doesn't know how much you're into it.
Right, can't. Adam, maybe you can persuade her.
Yeah, okay, let me try.
Give her that persuasion.
Monica?
Yeah.
Listen, it's
what?
Good, okay? He really enjoys it. I know you just sort of tolerate it when he's doing it to you, but he's into it. Guys are into this.
This is the horrible thing, though, is this guy has found the grail here. You know what I mean? He should be just appreciating what he's uncovered.
Yeah. All right.
And by the way, this quality that Monica has is a genetically predetermined thing. They've had some good research now that shows that is an issue of genetics. There's no way to make someone into Monica, nor to make Monica somebody who likes oral sex.
Right. All right. So, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
You there?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's what you need to do. Maybe you don't need to give him oral sex to the point where he climaxes, but maybe you need to do it as just a little bit of a starter course before the fun begins.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to pitch in a little bit.
No, I understand. I mean, like, I want to be able to. It's not like I put up a fight and just don't want to. But at the same time, I just don't understand why I can't like it. I can't enjoy it.
All right. Well, look, here's the thing. Here, let me.
It's okay.
All right, but let me tell you this bill of goods everyone got sold in the bedroom, which is you're going to be having a great time and enjoying yourself all the time. Let's face it. First off, there's just a, there's a certain preliminary, so what do they call it in figure skating, Drew? There's a compulsory.
Oh, the compulsory.
The compulsory stuff you got to do. It's not exciting. It's you've done it 100 times. No big thrill. You got to get through it so you can get to the triple sow cow and the double camel.
Right. You get to the artistic stuff.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yes. There's the compulsory part. Then there's the repetition part. And somebody said, like, every time you're in the bedroom, it's going to be magic. It's going to be wonderful.
That's putting a lot of pressure on it.
It really is. Yeah. You really should just, for guys, we just want to have an orgasm. I mean, that's, look, let's be honest. That's what we're looking for. So the whole magic part is it's nice if you enjoy yourself, and I'm sure you do, but not every single component of it has to be stupendous.
Right. And plus, she is quite, so let's say, functional.
Right.
So she can do her compulsories, and she'll be fine.
That's right.
She's good at the triple sow.
That's right. Yeah. And what's the other ones, Drew? Because Drew's daughter.
Lutz, flip, loop. I can't believe I know all these different genres.
Yeah, Drew. You're bordering on gay. One more and you're gay. You're bi right now.
Axel.
Gay.
Done.
That's the name of your next boyfriend, Axel. German guy with weird frames on his glasses. All right. Yeah. One more call. Uneven boobs.
No. Do a break.
Oh, I got a question for Rob.
All right.
Jack?
Hey, what's up?
You're 30. What's going on?
Nothing much. I've been listening to Loveline since 1995. You guys are awesome, man.
Thank you.
No problem. Hey, I wanted to ask Rob. By the way, I loved House of 1,000 Corpses. Can't wait for the new movie. Very excited.
Cool, thanks.
I wanted to know if you directed any of your music videos or how you got experience directing before you actually started directing these films.
Yeah, I directed all the music videos. I used to direct them for White Zombie, did them all for myself, did a video for Ozzy, for a bunch of other bands. Yeah, I've done a lot of videos.
And I mean, did you go to film school?
Bunch of years. Nope. I don't like school.
You just picked it up on the job.
Yeah, because really, certain things, you know, you can learn all you want, but until you're there, it just doesn't mean anything.
Right. Well, yeah. Orson Welles says you can learn everything in 15 minutes. So, all right. Well, that was it.
On what?
Well, maybe if you're Orson Welles, you can.
Right. So you can
filmmaking.
You can fly like commercial aircraft after 15 minutes. Oh, everything about filmmaking.
Yeah, Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Right.
And that deep knowledge base served him well for a long, healthy career.
Yeah, he was doing like a chickpea commercials in the '70s before he died.
Wine.
And then Gallo wine.
He was served no wine.
I forgot about that.
That was bad.
Oh, really? The most entertaining thing Orson Welles did after Citizen Kane was all the outtakes from the Gallo wine stuff when he was like yelling at the sound engineer about what a pompous ass he was. That's awesome. That's all you need is a fat, drunken Orson Welles who feels. You know, the worst thing is the guy who has to work with the guy who won the Academy Award at like 23 and was considered, the greatest genius in filmmaking ever. Now it's 50 years later, it's 150 pounds later, and you got to work 200 pounds later, and you got to work with this guy. You're his sound engineer, and you're like, Orson, we're going to need to take that. I go, how dare you? You know, he's there, he's got one of those kerchiefs on, and his guts hanging out. That's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
We agree.
Rob Zombie here tonight, Sherry Zombie here tonight. The Devil's Rejects, name of the film, coming out on July 22nd. We'll talk to Wally. Is there anyone under 55 named Wally?
The name sounds bogus. So we're starting from a bogus sort of place.
Mm-hmm. Wally.
Yeah.
Is your name Wally?
Yes, it is.
All right. Is there a family member named Wally?
No, it's my nickname.
What's your real name?
John.
Okay.
That's a damn lie, and you know it!
Okay.
All right, hold on, Wally. I'm intrigued with Wally. Yeah. Gay had sex with 4 guys as things growing out of his butt.
Wow. It's intriguing.
Yes. Rob, Sherry here. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Rob Zombie's here tonight. This is beautiful bride, Sherry. They, yeah.
They're replacing their roof.
Yeah.
We're talking about it.
Talking about roofing with the zombies. What are you guys doing? I'm going to the zombies for dinner. Awesome.
Talking about roofing.
Talking about roofing.
That's Ray the only Sheeting. Sensible topic that's come up yet tonight. It's the only thing worth listening to.
The Devil's Rejects is the name of the new movie, which is coming out on the 22nd of July. And what was the budget on this one?
$7 million.
That's pretty sizable.
Yeah, it looks like it cost a lot more, and I know that Lionsgate hates that when I say the budget because
right.
they like to... I think people like to pretend like things cost more because there's sort of like an obsession with budgets and...
Well, but don't they throw in the marketing fees and all that stuff, too, when they talk about their budget?
Probably.
For you, it's the actual film budget.
Yeah. Right. Marketing fees is probably $20 million, $25 million.
So they go, oh, it's a $40 million
film.
Exactly.
What was the cost of A House of 1,000 Corpses?
About $12 million, $11
million. Oh, it was higher budget?
It was higher, yeah.
Is it because you didn't need it or because they wouldn't give it up?
No, I mean, a lot of it, the first film was shot with Universal Studios, mm-hmm. you know, much bigger studio, and I don't know, it's just a lot of waste involved. The budget didn't need to be that high.
Was there some situation with that movie where you shot it and it sat around for a while or some controversy or some problem? I remember talking to you about
it. Yeah, there was all kinds of situations. I mean, we shot the movie, finished it with Universal, and then, just... The time period that we were finishing the movie was bad. It was right around Columbine and the election, and Lieberman was, you know, campaigning Hollywood's got to clean up its act and blah, blah, blah. And Universal just didn't want to have anything to do with it at that time.
It's like saying porn should clean up its movies. It's porn. You know what I mean? I mean, this is a horror film.
Are you waiting, Rob's? Oh, yeah, okay.
No. It's not that good. Right. It's not up to the porn level. No.
It's a horror film, yeah.
No, what I'm saying is it's an R-rated horror movie, right? I mean,
well,
it's supposed to have guts and gore and blood.
Well, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, it's R-rated, so it's for adults or no one under 17 admitted without parents, but they treat it as if, you know, five-year-olds are going to it.
Last time you were here, you were doing an amusement park thing.
Yeah, that was
it's just after, I think, right? Just after.
Just after the movie was finished, yeah.
Yeah.
They had built an amusement park ride based on the movie at Universal.
Right, right.
And then at the last minute, when this was happening, freaked out and changed. The ride was based on the movie, but they changed the name of it.
Now it's The Mummy.
Yeah, what is
the Waterworld Stunt Spectacular? No, I'm just kidding.
He's like, oh my god, Rob. There's nothing in an amusement park you could do that would be scarier than the Six Flags Magic Mountain bald guy with the Swifty Lazar glasses.
I love that guy.
So,
I like that too.
Nothing scarier than that. Let me tell you something.
Not since Spuds McKenzie have I liked a TV
I'm with
character.
You.
But let me tell you this.
It's a woman, apparently.
Oh no.
What if scarier? Let's just talk horror for a second.
Horror. Back to the porn.
Horror.
That's a dance.
Horror film. Here's the point. If you woke up in the middle of the night and you sat up in your bed and at the foot of your bed was that bald old guy doing exactly what he does in the commercial, you would die. You would be so terrified, you would die. You would freak out. You would just stare at him, and he'd just be locked on you with those huge old person glasses.
Music, you have to have the music.
You'd have to have the music pumping. He'd have to be doing that crazy. You would rather see the Grim Reaper holding a sickle than that. That would freak you out and scare you. Yes. At least the sickle Reaper would just scare you.
At least you'd make sense of it immediately. You would know what was happening.
That'd be the freakiest thing you ever saw in your life.
Yes.
All right. That's all I'm saying. You got to get him in your next movie.
I love that. That guy's genius. Never fails to amuse me.
Never does. Wally?
Yeah.
Now back to Wally.
You're 21?
Yes.
You've had four partners?
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Recently?
Since last October.
All right, and what's happening now?
Well, basically, I've been with my boyfriend for 7 months now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, about 3 months ago, I started noticing these things that were like pimples on my rectum.
Pimples. Hmm. The pimples have whiteheads and have pus come out of them. Are these solid, like little flesh-colored things?
No, it kind of felt like little moles at first.
Right, so like warts, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Is your boyfriend been using a condom or no?
No.
No. So these are warts.
Yeah. I've only had unprotected sex.
You've only, all right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, you got
a
way to go.
Beautiful. You take a stand.
See, and you've been the receptive partner, as it were.
With three of the guys.
Okay. Why didn't you have them wear condoms? Just out of curiosity.
The first one was the first guy that I was with, and...
Oh, well, then why didn't you say so?
Well, look, what about heterosexual guys, don't wear condoms half the time, three-quarters of the time?
Yeah, but there's nothing more dangerous than being a receptive partner in anal intercourse.
Who are you talking to?
I'm just saying the obvious to you, sir.
You're preaching to the choir, my friend.
I said good day.
I said good day.
But the fact is, this is probably warts, and really, we're going to have to take a break here in a second. Maybe we'll want to get back to Wally. But the important thing here to understand, Wally, is that anal warts, while vaginal warts are associated with cervical cancer, anal warts are associated with anal cancer. So it actually is a serious issue and needs to be controlled, so you have to see somebody about it.
Yeah.
So let's go to break.
All right.
Maybe I'll revisit Wally and his anal bumps.
I've had an ass full of his anal
so
warts,
to speak.
Actually. Yeah.
I can.
All right, Wally, you got to go to the doctor, buddy.
Yeah, probably a dermatologist. There are various ways to treat this, and it's a pretty simple issue these days.
Yeah.
There's a cream, Aldera cream, and this.
I know doctors are supposed to have that sort of professional thing, but when you know there's a young guy out there with the anal warts who's in the waiting room, then that kind of...
Take a couple beats.
Take him after lunch. You know what I mean? Let's break for lunch. You know what I mean?
Just take a couple beats, deep breath.
All right. Sherry Zombie's here. Rob Zombie here. New film coming out on the 22nd of July. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Rob Zombie's here tonight. Sherry Zombie is here tonight. Rob wrote and directed the new movie, and Sherry stars in it. The Devil's Rejects is the name of the film. And it'd be nice, Sherry, for you, you can be sort of the next Karen Black. You know what I mean? Like, or Jamie Lee Curtis, or whoever. You know,
we're staying with the Devil film. Let's stay with Karen Black.
Okay, all I'm saying is Trilogy of Terror. Remember that one? I think that was Karen Black was in that.
Karen actually played my mother in House of Thousand Corpses.
Perfect.
So I worked with her. She's great.
How weird is that?
Not that weird.
But I mean, where did you come up with that reference?
Well, I saw the movie.
Oh.
Then why did you just say, oh, really?
No.
Trying to play it cool.
I'm trying to play it cool. But now the jig is up.
I said good day.
I said good day, sir. We're laughing that's the worst thing you could say to somebody about 100 years ago. I said good day! Now it's like, oh, well, the blacks have ruined it, really, because all the MFers and your mother and, talking about a vagina and all this, you know what I mean? It's all gone now. But it used to be just a guy in a top hat. I said good day. That was it.
I think you should, we'll bring that back.
The devil.
You go home with like a black eye and it's like, what happened, honey? Somebody said good day to me. I had to put my fists up in anger. You're kidding? Yes. What are you doing there? I'm getting my pistol. We're dueling at dawn.
Let me remove my monocle.
That's right. He'll not live to say good day another day. I'll be saying good day to his corpse. All right. Yes, it was a simpler time. So, yes. So, what was I saying? Karen Black. Yeah, or Jamie Lee Curtis. So it used to be, I think, and I don't know who the... I don't know. Maybe Sarah Michelle Gellar or something is. I don't know who the... In the 70s, it was Karen Black, and in the 80s, and maybe, spilling into the early 90s, maybe Jamie Lee Curtis, who were the queens of the scary movies? You know what I mean? The genre. Who
Alien,
is it now?
What's her name?
Well,
Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver did all the Alien stuff, but is there anybody anybody now who holds that title? You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah. All right.
Sherry's
I think,
it's up for grabs.
It's kind of changed, too, because now it's like horror movies and those type of movies are such big business that,
they're just
find like Halle Berry in these movies.
They're like a mainstream movie.
I mean, it's kind of like nobody wanted to be in a comic book movie. Now you have Academy Award winners all fighting to be in the X-Men.
Mm. Right.
You know, because
everybody
wants to be Batman now.
Yeah.
Whereas before they were embarrassed to even go near those movies. Did you see Batman? It's like...
No.
Michael Caine and Liam Neeson, you can't turn around with tripping over an Academy Award winner in that film.
It is interesting that would have been considered sort of career death, 10 or 15 years ago, doing these kinds of movies. And maybe Superman kind of changed that around a little bit. But still, Christopher Reeves wasn't Christopher Reeves before he did
right.
Superman. Somewhere recently, it just turned into this lottery with the A-list celebrities trying to get in these outfits.
Yeah, but Jack Nicholson did Batman, and
no, but it was already underway by then.
Yeah, but
that was more than 15 really, years ago.
And Brando,
it?
No. Was Brando did Superman.
That was in the '80s, yeah,
right?
Yeah, Brando doing Superman. That was like the highest.
Right.
At the time, I think that was the biggest amount of money an actor had ever been paid.
I think that's where it started really.
And he only appeared in the movie for like 10 minutes and worked like Superman. 3 days, and they paid him $3 million.
Superman's
I think,
dad.
Like that.
Right. Yeah. That's my goal. My goal is to be like Brando.
That. I know that.
You know, because when I started finding out that Brando used to have stuff like an earpiece and his assistant reading the lines during the filming.
Yeah.
So he'd just hear it in his little IFB earpiece and just.
Also take the lines and stick them on the other actors' foreheads and just read them off their face.
Yeah, he'd shoot a snot rocket on it and then just stick it right to the forehead. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're all bloated.
That was Marilyn Monroe's thing, too.
Everyone's scared to get you out of your trailer.
Between Demerol injections. They'd have the stuff posted all over the set.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, when you're really effed up and really high, memorizing stuff...
Impossible.
...is impossible. Yeah. You can do... By the way... You can be high and effed up, and you can have sex. You can drive, not well, but I'll get from here to the liquor store and back.
Radio program?
You can do radio. God knows you could do radio. You can do almost anything but recite lines. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing you're going to screw up.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I just Orson Welles and who were we just talking about? Oh, we're talking about Marlon Brando. That's the gig. Get big, get fat, get angry, and then
lots of money.
And then cash in. Diana?
Hi.
You're 25?
Yes, I'm 25.
What's up?
Okay, my question is this. Why is it that the only time I can orgasm is like if through oral sex or like vibrator?
Bill,
is that weird or
no?
That you fit the profile of 60% of women.
60,
yeah. In Adams,
what?
In Adams,
160.
In Adams field work, it's been 110%.
Yeah, according to my data.
But Diana, 60% of women can only have orgasm with some sort of direct stimulation like oral sex. They will
why
the
is
you
that, though?
Because that's how you're configured biologically. You will not have an orgasm with intercourse. It will not happen.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Tough.
Cause my partner has a hard time, like, dealing with it, you know? He's like, oh, you know, you can't get off any other way.
Well, that's a guy thing, because guys think, we've been sort of sold the bill of goods that women are just like men, and therefore you should function just the same. Well, you're
right.
Very different. Yeah. And also women get sold a bill of goods that somehow... Every women's magazine said if you could just figure out the right technique, you'd be having these things. Well, no, please.
Yeah.
There's good evidence coming in that this is a genetic issue. And go ahead and blame your mom again.
I told you.
But this is...
Vindication is what I call it. You called evidence. I call it vindication.
Well, it still doesn't...
Total vindication.
It doesn't explain the 100% that you've experienced.
You said yourself 160%. I heard it.
But you're normal, Diana. You're not defective. You don't feel bad. And the guys have to learn to just realize that women are very different and just focus on your needs.
Yeah. All right. And look, the idea that he cares that much about it is a little bit weird. He shouldn't be obsessed with it.
Well, guys in there, they're male. He's in his 20s. The male ego is still...
I was always very accepting.
I understand.
Very accepting.
Here's what
rarely put up a fight. I just hung my head.
It means he hasn't been with a lot of people.
It means, first off, whoever he was with before Diana was in the 40% percentile who could have
that's
an orgasm.
Right. Or maybe there's been nobody before Diana, whatever.
Is he an experienced guy, Diana?
Well, I've been with him for 9 years, so, I mean, every time we do it, it's like he always has to do that, or else, like...
No, he's not been with anybody else, so there you go.
9 years of this guy complaining? And by the way, I would be over it by year 7. You know what I mean?
Like, complain. It's pathetic. He still complains, but I don't know what else to tell him. I'm like, I'm sorry, but...
Well, you called Loveline. You called Loveline, and you tell him what we told you.
True.
Tonight.
Give her write her a note.
I'll write you a little
And Diana, are you guys married?
No, we're not married.
What's the plan? You called him your partner. You've been together since you were 15 or 16.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just, you know, I mean, we've gone through a lot, but, you know, it's this whole, you know, thing. Like, it bugs him, and she's very insecure.
Well, she just yeah. bridged right
Did
off of that
see
topic.
Her just skirt
Woo.
That.
Well done, Diana. Politician in your future.
I'll tell you what our callers are like. So she calls and says she can't have an orgasm. And I say, all right, don't worry about that. But you guys been together for 9 years. What's going on? How come you're not married? And she goes, oh, I don't know. I just can't orgasm.
Right.
Our callers are like, right. It was like when I throw my dog in the pool and I grab its tail, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Just flapping. And, going. And sometimes I'll get under it and I'll just cradle it. It doesn't realize it's not moving anywhere. All it knows
doesn't
is it's got to start. It's got to keep them
flailing,
legs moving. Yeah, that's all. Just keep paddling.
Our callers, when we actually hit on a tender subject, flail harder.
Right. Diana, what is up? Why aren't you two married?
We're just not married. I just don't want to be married right now.
You don't want to be married.
Yeah, sure,
I
Diana.
He's asked you to marry him.
He's asked me plenty of times, but not the right way. You know, it's just like, let's get married, and that's not good enough for me. I'm sorry. Like, after 9 years, you know, it's just like, maybe, I think I was just too young, you know, and maybe I feel like I
want to. All right, so given that you're clear you don't want to marry this guy.
Not the right way.
Hang on. You better end this relationship then.
Yeah.
Because this guy's somebody you're never going to marry.
You don't want to marry him. He's not giving you an orgasm. Why don't you break it off?
No, he is.
But where's this thing? But where's it going? Seriously, what do you mean? You want to get married if he asked
Here's
correctly?
What she's saying she's so resentful and angry that they're not married yet, that the fact that he didn't get on his knee and throw himself into a
yes.
into a request, it's like, after all I put in, you're just saying, hey, let's just do this? Screw you.
Yeah,
Diana, that's how angry and resentful you are that you're even withholding marriage from somebody you want to marry.
And by the way, if you think you're going to punish a guy by withholding marriage, you better just hold. It's like keeping the liver out of an omelet and punishing a guy. Oh, thank you.
And by the way, that you're that resentful.
Sweet, if you're listening, you're, you know, it's.
Yeah,
you know,
of course. That you're that resentful now.
I love liver. You know, I'm a big liver.
It's a bad,
I'm a giblets, man.
Bad sign for your relationship, Diana.
Yeah, Diana, what is up? You want to get married, right?
Oh, in the future, yeah, but I don't
think
it's the right one.
Okay, then get on with it.
So this is what...
I was just too young, you know. I when I got with him, I was just so young, and I feel like...
Yeah,
no,
well,
like,
get end it. End
break it up.
End it. Move.
What's your plan? You know, waste another 9 years?
Yeah, it's 9 years. But, I mean, the only thing that I get scared of is, like, if I get into a new relationship and, like, what if... Like, the guy doesn't want to do that, and that's the only way that I can, you know.
You're afraid? You are fear. Whoa! You're fearful of getting in another relationship for fear that another man will not be willing to have oral sex with you.
Is that true?
That's true.
Diana, that's bizarre.
Yeah,
that's
a bizarre
fear. That's a wrong fear. Yeah.
Yes.
This guy has freaked you out so much. Most men understand that's what women need.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
Really?
Yeah.
Adam's
only been with one person, so it's...
Adam has had extensive field work in this area.
Yeah.
Extensive.
Look, here's the thing. Has he convinced you of this? Did he tell you this?
Tell me what?
She's decided it.
They don't know.
They don't talk to us.
What makes you think the next guy won't give you oral sex?
I don't know, because, I mean, I have guy friends, and some of them are like, ew, disgusting, like, I'll never do that to a girl, or, you know, like, I have guy friends.
Hold on a second. Let me explain something gay. You didn't have to write it down. For okay, let me say this. I'm now forming a theory.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Which is, you know, I complain about guys in this sort of metrosexual thing.
Yes, yes.
Where... For me, I grew up with guys who, if they couldn't fight, they wouldn't brag about it. And if they couldn't fix their car, they wouldn't brag about it.
They wouldn't tell anybody.
They wouldn't tell anybody. Like, as a guy, you had a certain amount of bravado. As a guy, you were supposed to be able to handle yourself if somebody, you know, tried to kick your ass. If your car broke down, you're supposed to be able to change
your
fender.
Your buddy says, here, eat this. You just eat it. Raw oysters, whatever.
Right. There was a certain thing about being a guy, even if it's not what was in your heart, at least you projected it to the outside world. Like, you would never do what Dr. Drew did about 5 years ago when he told me he came down to his garage. He had a flat tire. So he called AAA
to
come to the house and put the spare on the car.
Love
See,
that.
That's the kind of thing you would keep close to the
busy.
Vest.
How you, I said good day.
You would keep that very close to your vest, yes. Right? You wouldn't brag about it. And guys... Now, so what's going on now is there's a bunch of guys, and they're like,
it was a luxury.
Oh, hell, I wouldn't, you know, no, I've never been in a fight, and I don't know what I would do if a guy came after me, and no, I don't work on my car, you let the other guy do that. No, I don't know, I couldn't.
And when a woman brings this kind of thing up.
Yes, now, yes, and a guy goes, ew. I'm not going to do that. That's the Cootie Central down there.
Right, I need a milkshake. Where,
yeah, I'm not going to do that. Huh. Now,
gay.
Yeah. I agree, agree.
Sure is offended. Yeah. Sidebar here.
There's an issue going on.
They're angry.
Well, all I'm saying is as a guy, your motto would be, oh, listen, I can't get enough. I wish I had 3 miles so I could go down three vaginas simultaneously. You wouldn't get any of this like, ew, that's yucky or that's gross. Now it's the same guy who's talking about can't fix his car, can't fight, can't fix his house. Doesn't want to go down and check. I think it's the same dude.
Look what women have done.
Women.
They've done this.
They turned us into women.
It's not only that, but a woman would belly
well,
up.
If she was a lesbian, she would.
But
the
I'm
point
saying
is
this is what they've done. They've
right, but
they've
here, here's the point.
Here.
Yes. It used to be that the guys were over here.
Yeah.
We went down on chicks. We got in a fight. We fixed our cars, and we made the money. And you chicks were over here. You let us go down on you, and you cooked, and you sewed. And that was it. And now...
And you bought expensive shoes.
And you bought expensive shoes. And now we've met somewhere in the middle. You guys work, we work. You don't sew, we don't fix cars. You don't go down on us, we don't go down on you. Like, it's some kind of... Eventually, we'll just turn... Everyone will just have half a penis and half a labia. Just a right side of labia and half a nut. We'll just all be the same androgynous, weird humanoid. Next movie.
Ooh,
just right
oh,
here.
What do you
well,
call it?
I'll meet you in the middle. That's where we're all meeting. Dudes used to be over here, chick over there. Now we're all in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Scary.
Heavy.
Who will do the construction?
Heavy. Mexicans. We gotta pay those
roofer.
People. We gotta get those roofers up there. They're not gonna go for that meet in the middle plan.
No, they know man, woman.
Yeah, they know work. They like to eat and they like to work on cars. We're never gonna get them to join us.
When are you
gonna This is a white guy thing, that meet in the middle thing. It's gonna be hard to get other ethnicities to join us in that meet in the middle thing.
Just so I don't forget, when's the next barbecue?
Soon.
I gotta come.
Yeah. I got guys who cook, yeah.
Oh, Ozzy.
Oswald.
Oh, my God.
Diana? All right, quiet,
yeah.
Drew. All right, so look, would you dump this guy?
Would I dump him?
Dump him.
No. Not would you.
Will you?
Go
do
ahead.
It.
Do it.
Oh,
it's
am
time.
I going to? Yes.
Here's the thing, Diana, about relationships when you start when you're in high school. This is a relationship that would last about, if you were out dating and having relationships, this one would last about 3 weeks. And you would understand it. You would see it wasn't working. You would know how to end it. You would end it. You've never ended a relationship before, so it's going to be very difficult for you. And it's almost like having a breaking up with a sibling now.
Yeah. Do you have any kids?
Yeah, we have one together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, you know.
That changes everything.
Yeah.
Forget
I was going to say bust it off before you get pregnant. But
forget it.
Rewind
everything we've said.
Yeah. Well, what should she do now?
Get therapy.
Therapy?
Couples therapy.
She's not going anywhere.
Therapy? Really?
Yeah, because you got to figure out a way to make this thing work on behalf of the child.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's hard. I think that's the only thing that's the hardest thing that, for me.
Really, mommy's worrying about the guys going down on her.
Yeah, all right.
Shouldn't be having kids at 22.
All right, Diana.
Okay.
All right, listen, you know, have a beer. Life will be over soon. Relax. It's all going to pass. Yeah. Time is relative.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying?
Time doesn't exist.
This show
it doesn't
is depressing.
Exist. It's just something man created to pass the time. Yeah. Yeah, why not 25 hours? I know it takes Earth 24 to revolve, but let's let it go around another, you know.
We created this concept anyway. Why not?
That's right. I don't even know if I'm here right now, man. Just hope I'm getting paid.
Oh, mama.
All right, where are we, Drew? What's going on?
Let's talk to Thomas.
Let's talk to Thomas.
Let's talk about politics.
Thomas.
Yes.
What's
24.
Up?
Not much, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Well, first off, I'd like to say you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
To you guys every night at work, start to finish.
Thank you.
What kind of work do you do?
I do powder coating.
Ooh. What kind of stuff? Powder coating is awesome stuff.
Donuts? What does that mean?
No. It's an electrostatic system. It's like anodizing or paints, like the world's greatest paint. It's what you do for, you powder coat a motorcycle frame, auto parts. It's like a paint job that you can't chip with a hammer.
Wow.
It's awesome
stuff.
The
greatest paint in the world.
Donuts.
Yeah.
Can we say something after the word donut came up?
Let's go to the dispensing machine.
Powder coating. Yeah, see, these guys, Drew and Rob, met in the middle. That's why they don't know what powder coating is. I'm still on the side. I'm a man. I know powder coating.
Yeah, but the donuts make up for it.
That's true. All right, so Thomas, what kind of stuff do you powder coat?
Well, the company I work for started off making heaters and showers for boats. And now we do stuff for electronics companies.
Yeah. Oh, you'll have no trouble getting laid. Let's hear about you powder coating heater cores for cabin cruisers. They go nuts. Panties just soak right through.
Anyway, Thomas, what's the question or comment?
Well, a few callers ago, you suggested on telling her to go to the military.
Yes.
Yes, there was a 19-year-old who was living on the floor, flopping on the floor of a friend's house for years, who was fragmented emotionally, was dating a 51-year-old.
Right, Drew.
And could not get any structure going in her life.
Get on your knees!
Adam suggested the military.
Why the military? I'll tell you why. Okay, here we go.
Oh, boy.
For men more so than women, but for women too, there's a certain percentage of our society that just needs structure. They're out of control, and without that structure, they're gonna get the structure of prison or the structure of rehab. Eventually, there's going to be some structure bearing down on them. That's what sort of society does. She is lacking that discipline, and that's a discipline that you sort of need to learn
from the outside in.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have it when I was 19, and I just kicked around.
Why not the Coast Guard or something?
Do the Coast Guard. Right,
something closer to home.
You don't have to do the Army. You don't have to do the Marines. Do the Coast Guard. But here's what I'm saying. She's going to go to junior college. She's going to blow around junior college for about 5 years, learn nothing, be in and out of it, and be on the same friend's apartment floor 5 years from now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but I think she's going to spiral into more trouble.
Most likely.
But she'll have a useless degree.
Right. No.
She won't have a degree.
No, something that doesn't matter.
You can kill 20 years in junior college and not walk with a two-year degree.
Mm-hmm. Why can't you go to technical school? That's only like 2 years, right?
I kind of agree with that. I don't think she could tolerate.
I don't think she can do it.
I don't think she could do it. You know, she couldn't do a job. She couldn't do an apartment. She couldn't do anything.
Well, here's the thing. She doesn't have any money and her family's gone.
Yeah.
She needs to sort of throw herself on the mercy of a system.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not a huge fan of the military, but it's where you should go if you have no money and no structure and no criminal record, and they'll take you. And you don't want to do it when you're 27. Do it at 19. I know guys that did the Navy, did the Army. They did it when they were 19. Before you know it, they're 23. They got out.
They have
health insurance for the rest of their lives. They get low interest rate loans and everything. They're all sort of taken care of, and that's just some little memory from the past where they learned to tie a knot.
But they learned a couple things.
They learned how to get up in the morning, put their boots on, and go somewhere. Mm-hmm. I agree.
My brother's
in the Navy.
He was 18.
Yeah, and that transformed him into a different person.
He came out a man.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Look like a man now.
No, because the thing is your brother probably wasn't the world's greatest high school student.
Average.
But think if he'd gone to junior college, what would have happened to him?
He'd still be hung out for a while.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And guys especially, I know this was a woman, but we're spreading out here. Guys especially need a little ass kicking when they're 18 and 19. They need some guy who's 35 yelling at them, going, get out of bed. And they go, I'm tired. I want to hit the snooze. Get up, get out, and do some push-ups.
You know,
Let's go.
Men have a thing. I watched this happen when I was having coached a little football team with a bunch of boys. And males have a thing where they put themselves in harm's way on behalf of a group of males that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
It transforms them.
Yeah.
They feel a sense of... I don't know.
Character.
Something. They men need to put themselves on the line for a group of men.
Yeah.
They need to do that.
It's called gay porn.
That's how you did it. I understand not everybody has to do it that way.
Really? You'd rather dodge bullets or semen? Come on. And I was
said good day, sir.
I say good day.
I was grazed a couple of times with just superficial wounds. And I was back on the battlefield the next morning.
I'm going for the bullets, thank you.
That's right.
Just saying. That's what you mean, isn't it? Bullets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the purple. Well, it wasn't a heart, but I'll explain to you during the break. Rob is here. Sherry's here. Together. The Zombies. Oh, forgot about that band. The new... movie is coming out on the 22nd, The Devil's Rejects. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Jessica with the uneven boobs after this.
Oh, God.
Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Rob Zombie's here. Sherry Zombie's here.
Talking about powder coating.
Talking about donuts. Drew talking about Krispy Kremes.
Free Krispy Kremes. Can we just talk about that? I'd rather talk about that.
Let's talk about donuts. Drew marvels at the fact that when you go into Krispy Kreme
they
donuts,
hand you donuts,
they give you a free sample.
Yeah, they give you a donut.
They're just trying to get you hooked on the junk.
Off the assembly line. Yeah.
It's like crack.
Yeah. Pusher gives you that first hit of crack for free.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well done. Well said.
You know what I mean? Get you on there.
Yeah.
Or do you just go and constantly take the free donut? is that the plan? Here he comes again for the free donut.
No, he'll buy the cup of coffee.
But so you spend another 60 cents for a couple. It's just my thing is like if I were hungrier, I'd probably buy more donuts. But I have that first one. I'm like, all right.
I think there's very few people that can eat one donut.
Yeah. Look at America.
Yeah.
We're the fattest country. So they're going in, getting that free one, hooked on the junk, then they'll have like five more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of my sons is just a Krispy Kreme maniac.
Oh, really?
And we had a baseball tournament out in Hacienda Heights last week. Mm. And he was the whole way. I'm driving an hour down to this thing. He's like, can we get some donuts? Can we drive off the freeway to where the tournament is? There's one right there at the exit as we get off.
He's like Scooby-Doo. He wants a snack.
Absolutely.
Sherry just said that we're the fattest country. But I say, like, hey, we're the fattest country. I'm bragging about it, everyone. That's prosperity. I don't hang my head when I announce that. It's a point of pride for me. We are the fattest country, yet on the 4th of July, the most patriotic of all holidays, on Coney Island, a Japanese kid wins the hot dog eating contest. I'm not standing for it anymore. That is un-American.
Yeah, he weighs about 90 pounds.
Yeah,
and here's my thing. I'll give the Asians the spelling bees. That's fine. Yeah. You guys are just better than we are. Fine. But hot dog eating? We invented hot dogs. We may have invented eating grotesque amounts of food.
We invented pie eating contests.
We pioneered the overeating competition.
Yes. All-you-can-eat buffet was ours.
Yeah, you think they have that stuff in Japan? You know, I mean, 50 years ago, they don't have... They eat a little fish head floating in some salt water and a little thing of rice. You know what I mean? We invented gorging ourselves. Yeah, we get our ass kicked by a 90-pound Japanese guy every year.
And he does his little dance while he eats the hot dogs. Did you see that?
Yeah.
To get him down his...
As my point is, when is it going
to
end?
He's exercising while he's eating to burn off
and to make it worse, yeah. And to make it worse, last year, a Japanese girl came in fifth.
Yep.
Yeah. Was even smaller than him.
Yeah, they've taken over. And the only thing I can think to
they do it better.
Is we got to start sending people over to Japan to, like, beat them at their game.
It won't work.
What is their game?
I don't know. Sumo wrestling. We get big fat white guy with like a huge areolas and red hair and just start throwing all those Japanese guys out of the ring.
There was a guy that was, when we were in Japan.
He was a Hawaiian guy.
No, but there was an Italian guy who was
really?
a sumo wrestler that was really high up in the ranks.
But he wasn't the grand champion.
No, but I guess it was the Samoan guy, I think, was the grand champion.
Yeah, the guy. And you know, and you see, when
they weren't happy about that either.
But all those guys are sort of morbidly obese and in a diaper, and it's hard to tell what nationality they are. Right. We need a red-haired. Yeah. I mean, we need a guy with pink nipples.
Yeah. You know, just everybody looks the same at 900 pounds.
Yeah. When you're tan and you're 900 pounds, we don't know if you're black or Asian or what the hell you are. We just know we're scared.
Giant baby.
That's all. Yeah. A lot of ass cheek, by the way, flying around that ring.
Yeah. And it's... Flapping around,
throwing the salt around. That's got to be a tough, you know, I know ringside seats are probably expensive, but that's got to be a tough, you could get a nose full of ass.
And salt.
Sitting ringside at sumo wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, how much longer is this insanity going to continue before we get a fat guy to win that hot dog eating competition? And by the way, why does it have something to do with your weight?
I know, it's weird.
Shouldn't one of our morbidly obese guys, shouldn't some NFL lineman who's 6'8 and coming in at 400 pounds, shouldn't he win that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Drew, would you get to work on that?
Immediately, sir.
All right. Jessica?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
You have uneven boobs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Little asymmetry, they call it.
Yeah, it's very, very common. And it's, first of all, you're 14, and sometimes there can be uneven sort of development. So this thing may sort of become more even as you age. There's that. And then there is the fact that a lot of women have different size, one versus the other, different direction of the nipples, and plastic surgeons repair that kind of thing all the time.
Yeah. But you,
if you want
you're probably
you don't
the
have
only
to
one
get
one.
Plastic surgery yeah. to repair that.
Absolutely not.
You don't?
No, it's actually a common thing.
Do some push-ups.
But how do you repair it?
No, you just live with it. It's fine. It's, the guys are fine with it. It's not a big deal. And, by the way, you have at least 4 more years of growth and development to go before you know where you're going to end up.
Are you different cup size?
Yeah. like one or two sizes difference.
Really?
One versus the other.
It means one's at least a C.
Yeah.
That's you, you push down at the
other side. Falls down. What cup sizes are they?
38B and 38C.
All right. Mm. All right.
The cup size difference is very, very
common. It's almost a circus act.
All right. You're fine, baby doll. Here's the thing. Guys don't really notice that much stuff. You know, all you chicks freaked out with your... here's what we notice. Big fat ass. That...
You know what? Guys don't notice anything until girls convince us that what's wrong with them.
Right. We really...
We're all good to go until they keep pointing at something for
you. Oh, you guys got some donuts there. We'll notice.
Oh, God.
Look at the powder coating on that one.
Yeah, probably done by our last caller. We'll,
it even says
we don't notice, like all you chicks are freaked out with your inverted nipples or your big areolas, your small nipples, or your asymmetry in your boobs.
Let me ask you this.
No, I never noticed.
What do I do to a guy, and how do I do this right and that right? And what is a guy thinking when he's having sex with a woman?
Hold still.
That, or there's one of the thoughts sometimes.
Well, my thought is, my God, I'm getting laid.
Oh, my God, I'm having sex. That's
oh, my God,
it.
I'm having
that's,
sex.
Those are the two thoughts. Either, hey, hold still, or oh, my God, she's having sex.
Oh, my God, I'm having sex.
Yes.
Oh,
so
my God.
That's what guys think.
Oh.
That's it. And women don't want to believe how pathetically simple men are.
No. Yeah. I mean, all I could think of, you know, back in the day when I was having sex was, who am I going to tell? Oh, my God, I can't believe she's holding still for this.
Right. Oh, my God.
No one's going to believe this.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Ether's wearing off. That would be my third.
That's a late thought. That comes later.
That's later. Yeah. Roofie's wearing thin. All right. I knew I should have got the drip. All right. No, come on, Drew. Joey.
Yeah.
21? Yeah.
I was just wondering if, this question is for Rob.
All right.
I was wondering if he was thinking about appearing in his new or, you know, upcoming movies, kind of like Stephen King. He appeared in, I believe it was Rose Red as the pizza guy. And I was just wondering if Rob...
So sort of a Alfred Hitchcock-like appearance.
No. I'm very anti-directors making appearances in movies.
Even just walking dogs.
Especially. I think it's fine for Hitchcock because he sort of came up with that idea more or less, and I think it's fine for Scorsese because he can actually act, but everyone else, the madness must end.
Why?
Because I'm tired of watching a movie and watching professional actors and being caught up in it and having the movie come to a grinding halt while the director stumbles through his lines.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Tarantino?
That's not who I was talking about, actually, but...
But he doesn't really... Who are we talking about?
No, Tarantino's fine, and in his movies he makes sense, but there's certain people that's just like...
Well, but let me give you an example, though.
I'm just not a fan of it.
Tarantino example, who, I mean, I'm a fan of his work, but Jimmy Kimmel, that is, and I went out and saw a first cut of Pulp Fiction, and it hadn't been released in the theater, right. It was just a screening thing, and we didn't know who the hell Tarantino was. Right? We watched a movie, and it was like, oh my God, it's the greatest movie I've ever seen, and Harvey Keitel was excellent, and Sam and everyone, Travolta was excellent. And we both said, but the one guy who played the guy whose house they went to and needed the sheets and everything.
What was that?
It was kind of a weak choice. It was weird because everyone was awesome. And then whoever cast the film did. And then, of course, found out later it's Tarantino. So even a guy who's a decent actor like Tarantino is for directors, it can still, amongst great actors,
be
a little distracting. Yes. But who were we? Who are we thinking of? Drew, who are you thinking of?
Tarantino's what I was thinking of.
That's not.
That didn't cross my mind.
Rob, right
I was
there.
Thinking M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other one.
My God.
You're watching the movie, then you slam your foot on the brakes and go, here we go.
Yeah. Well, let me say this about M. Night. And I
even other people that are, don't even give themselves lines, but the camera has to linger on this weird extra for some unknown reason. For
M. Night Shyamalan is the greatest example of that in the world, because he has a distracting ethnicity, which is when he's with Mel Gibson
in the Revolutionary War.
Yes, he's who's the guy from Bangladesh who's carrying the musket? Right. Yeah, but it's like, here's the thing. Mel Gibson is supposed to be in, like, Amish country of Pennsylvania, right, raising corn, and he's got the Indian guy who he's hanging out with in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's almost distractingly weird. It's not a xenophobic thought. It's just, he doesn't seem to fit the scape of the land.
Right.
And also kind of a weird actor and weird, it's just... He's distracting in everything he does, and horrible. I guess when you're a director, you get to do that.
But, and they're not actors. That's the thing. I mean, I don't mind when you watch like a John Huston movie, and John Huston would appear because he was an amazing actor too, and it was fun. It never bothered me. But now it's just like weird, stiff guys who are out of place that just wander across the screen. And
yeah,
why did this even come up? It has nothing to do with uneven.
You
want to
know if you were going to be in any of
right,
your
that was
movies?
Actually, I think. Yes, actually I am, because I don't... No, I'm just kidding. I don't feel like it.
Because he's an actor. Yeah. Rob's an actor.
All right, we got to take...
Master Thespian.
We got to take a little break, because I got to talk about that Mel Gibson movie. I do. I felt... that was a rook.
Which one?
That was not a scary movie.
Oh.
The one, The Signs.
Oh, so I thought you meant The Village.
The Village.
You know what? The Village was so... So, I don't mind
obvious.
Somebody going for something that's weird and wacky. I was all right with it. Science angered me. Wasn't scary at all. I couldn't get the deal with the aliens. It just wasn't. All right.
Let's take
a little break. We're going to talk a little M. Night behind the closed mics.
We'll eat donuts, by the way.
In the big bathroom.
And we'll be right back after this.
Yeah, that mouse wasn't real.
Yeah, he knew the cat was the nemesis. All right, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Rob Zombie here tonight.
And the international version of Loveline.
Yeah. Why, who else?
We're going to talk to Canada in a minute.
Oh, and how about Moscow?
Yeah, Moscow, Idaho. Almost.
Still exotic.
Never been there.
We gotta talk to. So you want to talk to Canada?
Boy, the powder coating didn't last long. Where the hell did those go?
I ate them.
How many donuts did you just eat, Drew?
10, 12,
11.
Drew,
and this is the guy that said he walks in the Krispy Kreme and he's full after one donut.
Yeah.
Not believing that story.
That's my point. Is it if somebody handed me two and then held me back for a while, I'd be like, all right, that's it. But once
well,
I'm
they
going,
don't hold you, they don't tackle
they
you.
Though, 11,
they hand you one,
they hand you
and
one, then
encourage
you, wait,
you.
Then you wait in line for 5 minutes, and then I'm like, all right, that's it.
But if
Drew,
they handed you 11 donuts,
you know
right
how
from
I
the
am.
Start,
well,
you'd
I know.
This, by the way, this is coming from the man who ate 11, inhaled 11 donuts in the last 2.5 minutes. His second argument is one donut good enough for me? Probably set for the year.
Momentum.
According to my calculations, you eat thousands of donuts a year. From what I've seen tonight, if this is any indication of your donut
just saying,
consumption.
Tomorrow night, I'll eat three and then stop and see what happens.
All right.
I love the one he leaves.
Oh, you
just
know
to
what?
Get the illusion.
That's so I can feel better.
No, that's F. Sexway.
He couldn't.
He loves donuts that much. He leaves one to actually penetrate. And then he.
You promised. Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is an open forum, Drew.
You promised.
We can't ask our callers to share their intimate details
good
of their love life day. And not have us speak openly about our own. Aaron?
I'm going to have my attorney call you in the morning.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have a Germany or Florida, and if I could, I have a question to ask, too.
All right, well, let's play Germany or Florida first. Here's how Germany or Florida works. He asked the bizarre macabre
or reports
the bizarre story, and then we guess. Is it? Did it happen in Germany or was it Florida? Drew, eat that last donut.
He's going in.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Okay. A man has been convicted of killing his gay homosexual dog. The dog, a terrier poodle, tried to hump another family pet. So the man struck it with a vacuum cleaner hose and threw it at a tree. Mm-hmm. It should be noted that the gay dog is a neuter, so it can't really be gay at all. A jury convicted the confused 58-year-old man on the 15th of this month on animal cruelty charges.
Well, first of all,
dog is a gay homosexual.
Mm-hmm. Sexual orientation does not have anything to do with whether you do or do not have testosterone in your system.
What do you mean?
He was neutered. He had his testes removed.
Right. Yeah.
So, but that doesn't have anything to do with sexual
orientation.
Even
if you're poodle.
If you're a gay man and somebody takes your testes away, you're still a gay man.
Right. It's you're a criminal without a gun, but you're still a criminal.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. You have no weapon.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The funny thing about this story is that he's an allegedly straight man, but what's he doing with a poodle, you know?
That's very good commentary.
Yeah.
You would make, you're calling from Canada, you'd make a lovely mounted policeman one day. Inspector. Yes, asking the tough questions. All right, so
Germany or Florida?
Feels like Florida.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Germany to be the fly in the Germany or Florida ointment. Aaron, is it Germany or Florida?
Well, there's no flies in this ointment. It's Florida.
Oh, man.
Well done.
Wow.
Very nice, very nice.
All right. Drew, you want to celebrate with a 28th donut?
Lauren, let's go. More.
Drew, if
it's a mess I made, too.
If you keistered a stack of them while you're eating them, you could get more in your bloodstream.
Just have one later.
Oh, smart. Yeah. All right, Aaron, what was your follow-up question?
Well, I had cancer recently, and everything's fine now. Like, I had it operated on, and I'm actually going for a follow-up next month. Mm-hmm. And during the process, I think I became sort of like an opiate addict because of all the painkillers I was on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. First of all, what kind of cancer do you have?
It's called eosinophilic granuloma.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a pretty rare one, also called histiocytosis X.
Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
And it's pretty. They treat with radiation, don't they? Normally, did you have radiation too?
No, he managed to get it out with just the surgery because it was localized in my bone.
In your ribs?
In a thigh bone.
Thigh bone.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And you then were prescribed painkillers.
You know who had this was Todd. What's his name? The marijuana guy that grew all the marijuana in his house.
Yeah.
He had this form of
Woody Harrelson's friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. And
we had the house in Beverly Hills and got busted by the cops for growing tons of pot.
He had histiocytosis X and there is eosinophilic granuloma.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Okay. So in any event, so you had treatment. Your success. It's a curable cancer. Outstanding. But you got going on opiates and now you got addicted.
Yeah,
that happens.
The thing is, though, like I was on Percocet and OxyContin and all that nice stuff, mm-hmm. but I haven't really been using it per se. Like, I just have the cravings. Like, I'm always thinking about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, he has chronic kidney stones, and he gets prescribed Demerol regularly.
So he's an opiate addict.
Mm.
You got it in your family. I mean, you get the gene and you get exposed to the drug and off you go.
Yeah.
It's possible this could settle down on its own, the problem is, though, because that drive has been activated, it's going to urge you to engage in behaviors that are sort of thrilling, sex, gambling, shopping, stealing, all that kind of thing. You're going to be urged to do that. You're going to feel a drive to drink and use pot. Mm. And you're going to be thinking about the opiates all the time. If you cannot contain any of those uses or behaviors, that's where a 12-step program becomes essential to deal with this.
You know what, though? I like Aaron because he's a man who knows how to prioritize, which is, number one, I got a Germany or Florida. Secondly, I survived cancer and I'm strung out on opiates. If you have time to get to the second question, that'd be awesome. But first, Germany or Florida. Guy kills his gay dog.
And he's quipping about it. Hey, the guy must be gay himself. It's a poodle.
That's a survivor right there.
Yeah.
Would rather talk about a guy's gay dog than the big C. You know what I mean?
Pretty amazing.
I like that guy. And that's a Canadian.
You like the cut of his jib.
I love that cut of that Canadian jib.
Duck jib.
I don't know what that means.
Back.
Gay.
Guy said good day.
Yeah. I say good day.
Yeah. That was the second most insulting thing you could say 100 years ago. I do not like the cut of your jib. I said good day. Pistols at dawn. Uh-oh. Fiona's been on hold for 106 minutes. Fiona?
Yes?
Wow. Jeez. You're fairly lucid for being on hold for over
two hours
and a half. What's up, baby doll?
First, may I guess just a moment? I love you guys. I lived abroad for 2 years, and my only source of, like, English entertainment was you.
Mm.
And
how? Somebody send you tapes or something?
My friends would record it and then send it to me.
Wow.
Like, they'd
Where were
record
you?
A month and send it.
Where were you?
I was in Japan.
Oh, my goodness.
What were you doing there?
I was a student. I am a student.
Oh, okay. Hey, can you find out what's up with these guys kicking our ass with the hot dog eating contest every year?
Listen, I'm looking at her question. It says she draws gay male porn. Is that, you went to Japan to study how to do Japanese
anime
cartoons?
Anime?
Yes, it's anime kind of porn.
Wow.
But I didn't go there to study it.
Oh, you just picked it up there.
No, I've been drawing it since I was 14.
Yeah, but you don't make your living doing that.
I make a really good living doing it.
Drawing gay?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the other thing that Japanese have kicked their asses in is animation porn.
Yeah.
They're the kings of that one.
Wow. Yeah.
Like 6 figures a year.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So,
out of all the things that have been said tonight, this is
then
the
why
thing
are you still a
most
student?
Disgusted at.
Yeah. What do you use for the money shot? Wide out? just spill it.
I don't have to do wet edits. I just have to draw it.
Yeah. Oh. And who buys this stuff?
40-year-old women, straight women.
How interesting.
Most, like, I go to conventions and I meet these people. They come up and they just talk and talk about how much they love it. And I look at them like, oh my God.
Wait, Fiona, we have to, whoever's at the other end in Westwood One, we got to talk to Fiona again tomorrow night. I've got a million questions.
Yeah, we'll make it Sunday night.
Sunday night, whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Hey, Fiona?
Mm-hmm.
And did you work for like a comic book company? Or how does that work?
It's when I was 14, it was my friends and I got together and we're just drawing stuff. And then I was good at art and I tried to make a living by doing commissions. And when that didn't work out, I started doing regular porn comic books.
But do the women, the 40-year-old women, do they like your male characters? Would they like them doing women? Or they only
with
men?
No women. The guy on girl porn that I drew never sold at all.
Yeah. What straight guy wants to see that?
No, but I mean, I wonder if these 40-year-old women would like that more than the guy, but they like the guy.
They don't like it at all. I've, now that I'm kind of known and I get paid a lot more, I do commissions now where people say, I want these characters, I want them to do this, and they don't want women at all.
And it's women asking you that.
Yes. I've had men come to my booth at conventions and buy, but I've never had a man on a commission.
I'm repulsed. I don't like gay porn. I don't like anime. I don't like any of them.
I am fascinated.
I'm disgusted.
Because there's nothing else that women like looking at. I said good day. please get Fiona's number. Let's get her back first thing next show.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Wow. Where did the show go? That's about it. I want to thank Rob and Sherry Zombie for coming in here. The Devil's Rejects. Go out and see that July 22nd. I want to thank Patricia for doing a great job on the phones, Engineer Anderson, Engineer Michelle, Engineer Chris. What's the other engineer am I missing?
Rick.
Engineer Rick, the donut guy, Junior, Producer Lauren for doing a great job, Producer Ann, and...
Is Adam doing screening?
Phone screener Adam, yeah.
Adam's
phone
screening.
Screener Adam. My namesake, doing a great job.
And Ann.
I thank Dan. So, until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gould. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.